The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
But first, even as the United States and Iran continue their tit-for-tat hostilities in a very unpopular war at home, we're on day 7 of the bombings now, as you heard, Donald Trump used a primetime address to the nation on Thursday not to talk about those pressing concerns, but rather to elevate his years-long push to raise doubts about the legitimacy of U.S. elections and dispute his own 2020 loss to Biden in an appeal for more restrictive voting laws ahead of those November midterms. In a bloated and meandering 25-minute diatribe, Trump touched on all the hackneyed talking points that earmark his presidency: U.S. military might, the trans agenda, illegal migration, criticism of the previous administration, and the usual USA Uber Alles rallying cries.
I'm proud to report that our country is safer, stronger, and far wealthier than it has ever been before. We are doing great. Less than 2 years ago, we inherited an economic and social disaster. After the worst inflation in 48 years, the wide-open borders with millions and millions of people pouring in from all over the world, including criminals of all types, and 11,888 murderers, many of whom killed more than one person. We had transgender for everybody, men and women sports, crime ravaging our cities, and the whole world was laughing at us as a nation, but not anymore. 2 years ago, our country was dead. Now, we are the hottest country anywhere in the world. America is respected like we have never been respected before.
So says Donald, but it was amplification of debunked theories about the election 6 years ago and his inability to accept that loss that was brought to the fore yet again. Despite those persistent voter concerns about the cost of living, American forces escalating strikes in Iran in a conflict which may become a forever war, and the immigration crackdown facing bipartisan scrutiny for its sometimes deadly and fatal tactics, Trump complained about this one personal defeat back in January of 2020.
America is back and doing really well, but we still have a major challenge that must be urgently addressed, because no country could be great without fair and honest elections. You have to trust your country, because if there can be no trust, there can be no greatness. And that's very simple. No trust, no greatness. For many years, I've called for bold, swift, and decisive action to protect the integrity of America's elections. Every American deserves to know that when they cast their vote, that vote will be counted accurately in a system, and that is to make that system secure, one where cheating and interference are not just difficult, but virtually impossible. Unfortunately, the system we have today falls catastrophically short of that standard. Tonight, I'm announcing the immediate declassification and release of critical intelligence, revealing shocking vulnerabilities in our election infrastructure. This evidence shows that the election system we have dangerously exposes, and really exposes, like levels never thought possible, to hacking, exploitation, and foreign interference. Just as disturbingly, this vital information has for many years been covered up and hidden from you, the American people, our beautiful, our great American people. But that all changes right now.
Well, his criticism was not simply reserved for Joe Biden and his administration, but to others like China, of course, as well as the deep state and members of the U.S.'s own intelligence community, throwing more fuel to the fire of conspiracy theories, which are so rife throughout the American political discourse of 2026.
The People's Republic of China carried out what is believed to be the largest compromise of election data in history, resulting in China's illicit acquisition of 220 million U.S. voter files. That information includes names, addresses, phone numbers, political party preferences, and other sensitive data that would be needed to register to vote and engage in other nefarious activities, which is exactly what was happening. This data loss presents an unprecedented election security nightmare. The intelligence even shows that China has signed a data exploitation unit specifically to this new project. Compounding the travesty, the second set of documents we are releasing reveals that members of the deep state, very, very famous group of people, in many cases, in our intelligence agency work to actively suppress and downplay information about the extent of China's sinister election meddling, covering it up from both the president and the American people like nobody thought was possible.
And we all thought that President Xi was a great pal of Donald Trump. Anyway, his assertions were greeted almost immediately by skepticism as his ambition to muddy the electoral waters before the midterms, where the Republicans could lose either one or both of the houses, was so obvious. And as the dust settled yesterday, I spoke to Caroline Vakil, campaign reporter at The Hill.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
Caroline, what exactly did Donald Trump claim in this primetime address? Was there anything really new in what he presented?
Sure. Well, in about a roughly half an hour speech, President Trump, in his Thursday primetime address, just essentially claimed without real substantial evidence that China had tried to interfere in the elections in 2020. You know, you saw a lot of sweeping claims about election interference by China, not a lot of substantial information. We didn't see any charges that were pressed against China. And so I think, you know, this is sort of his kind of fascination and obsession with the 2020 election and his loss to former President Joe Biden.
Now, how have the Democrats responded? You know, it's early enough after the speech, but how have they responded? Have they poo-pooed it, or have they seen anything at all of substance in it?
Sure. They've largely said, listen, there is really no or very little new information here. Any information that has been discussed has either been debunked or was widely known by intelligence officials and debated and has been discussed before. So they're sort of mocking this speech, which is, again, focused on a past election, him looking backwards. And, you know, Democrats say that this is just, you know, him trying to undermine faith in America's election systems right now.
So they would argue that this is not really about the next presidential election, but rather about the midterms. And if he can demonstrate that the electoral system generally is flawed, then he can challenge the results.
Sure. I mean, and he's been laying the groundwork since 2020 to challenge, you know, sort of American faith in election systems. There have been multiple audits, investigations that have shown that the 2020 election results were accurate and that there was very little wrongdoing or any kind of fraud that happened. And so he's essentially kind of still pushing this narrative at a time when a lot of Republicans right now want to be looking forward, and he's looking backwards.
Now, he repeatedly said that America's elections are, and this is the term he used, catastrophically vulnerable. Does he have executive powers that would enable him to supersede the powers of the states themselves to run their own elections?
That's a great question. He has certainly tried. But this is something that the states are legally mandated to carry out themselves. The federal government cannot carry out states' elections. That is the discretion of the states themselves. And so you've seen him and his administration trying to obtain voter rolls, voter information from these states, trying to sort of subvert power from the states. And it's a little bit ironic, given the fact that Republicans have very much been against sort of a centralized government. They've always wanted things to be decentralized through the states individually. But here you are seeing kind of Republicans in a different position where Trump is wanting to sort of use all levers of power to control elections in the states, which is just not legally something that he can do at this point.
Now, does anyone on the Democratic side raise the potential issue that Trump talks about cheating all the time because he's a cheater and he attempted to cheat himself and it didn't work, and therefore he concludes that the others must have been just cheating better than him?
I mean, he's talked about cheating on multiple levels. I mean, I think that I think the issue is that Democrats just see this as a ploy for him to get Republicans to look backwards. And so he's been focused on cheating. He's alleged that Democrats are cheating. Democrats think that he wants to rig the midterms in his own way. And so, of course, it's creating a frenzy of sorts and creating a lot of distrust between both sides right now.
Now, the question of what they might be up to on the Republican side, I mean, we know that Trump is preoccupied by the polls, but for once, he doesn't seem to be concerned that he's at a very low ebb, down at Jimmy Carter type levels. He doesn't seem to be as bothered about that as he might have been in the past.
I would say that President Trump has clearly had a fascination with the 2020 election ever since his loss to Joe Biden. But certainly, he's sort of making it a little bit difficult for Republicans to kind of look forward to the 2026 midterms. He's certainly made comments in the past where he suggested that inflation isn't bad or that the economics are good. And so Democrats have been able to sort of use that against them. And this kind of harkens back a little bit to the Biden administration era. You also saw them struggling with how to message on inflation and economic data. They were trying to tell voters that the economic outlook was a lot better than what voters were personally feeling, even if the numbers were better. And so you see both administrations have been grappling with how to message on something when voters' pocketbooks feel a lot different.
Mm. Who do you think his audience was when he spoke about this? Was it undecided voters, independent voters, or was it trying to re-energize and reassure his own base?
I certainly think that he was speaking to his base, which, you know, prior to this speech would have agreed with him on this anyway. So I don't think any minds were really changed. Perhaps he was trying to talk to some independents. But again, when you're sort of questioning the integrity of your own election system, you're casting doubt on that. And the domino effect is that you may end up having fewer people come out to vote because they don't trust the system that you're attacking.
Well, it remains to be seen, I suppose. But meantime, I mean, the Trump machine never stops. We read this morning that Trump media is to sell instant access to market-moving social posts. This looks like insider trading.
It's certainly another way that Trump has tried to create a business for himself. And it is quite interesting and very unusual, obviously. I don't think we've never had an administration even try to, you know, president or his own business try to do something like this, particularly in office. He's obviously trying to, one, save sort of the media platform of Truth Social, which has not been doing well financially. But on the other side of this, he's been trying to use this as a wink and a nod for movers and shakers on Wall Street that, hey, you can get a little bit more earlier access to what I'm thinking, and therefore that might help you with trading. It's obviously another way that Trump is trying to sort of financially profit, you know, during his time in office and out of office.
Now, one of the things that strikes us on this side of the world is the what appears to be blatant corruption and doing everything in plain sight, almost as if because we're doing it and we're seen to be doing it, it cannot be wrong. How big an issue is corruption going to be in the midterms?
The Republicans have definitely made corruption and particularly fraud a focal point in a lot of their messaging. We saw fraud as a real issue in Minnesota, but Republicans have been sort of making this a little bit of a talking point. At the same time, you have Democrats who are sort of suggesting that Trump and Republicans are trying to rig or use levers of power to change the outcome of elections. Redistricting has certainly been one where both parties have been trying to, you know, recreate maps for their own design in order to pick up seats in the House. You know, the parties are trying to level with each other. And again, there is this mistrust and distrust that is happening between both.
I was thinking more in terms of the president and his family enriching themselves on foot of Donald Trump occupying the Oval Office, and whether or not people on your side of the Atlantic are as scandalized as people on this side of the Atlantic at that overt corruption.
I think for President Trump, he is such a unique figure in that so many of the things that would have been so faux pas for a president, it sort of feels like another news of day, if that makes sense. But certainly, it is extremely unusual, raises a lot of ethical issues. And you can be guaranteed that Democrats, if they take back the House, would want to launch an investigation into aspects just like you mentioned.
Caroline Vakil, a campaign reporter at The Hill, thank you very much for joining us on our program.
Thanks for having me.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.